Money Radio, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to welcome Sharon Lecter. Sharon Lecter is an expert, an international expert on money and entrepreneurship. She is an author, an educator, an international speaker, the founder of Pay Your Family First, a financial education organization, and she has served for both President Bush and Obama on the President's Advisory Council on Financial Literacy. She's won many awards for her work in educating folks on finance and entrepreneurship and for philanthropic enterprises as well. And she is an author, and she has co-authored Rich Dad, Poor Dad, some others as well, including a brand new book, Think and Grow Rich for Women. Think and Grow Rich for Women, Using Your Power to Create Success and Significance, by Sharon Lecter. Sharon, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, I'm delighted to be with you. Thank you so much.
Think and Grow Rich. Now, I got to say, this is just a brilliant move on your part, because that book has been on the business bestseller list for 75 years or so now.
Still as powerful today as when it was released in 1937. Napoleon Hill's work, he studied success for 25 years, interviewed 500 of the most successful people of his time. But we all have to admit that at that point in time, all the titans of business were men. So as I looked at what's happening in the world of business for women, I thought, you know, even though the steps to success are the same for men and women, we tend to approach them quite differently. And so it was a wonderful opportunity and a huge honor to be asked to look at Think and Grow Rich through the eyes of successful women.
That is a very valid point, although would you say that the major principles that Napoleon Hill talked about in his book, Think and Grow Rich, has it really changed, or do they still apply but just need to be applied directly to women?
They still apply. As I said, this is the book, Think and Grow Rich, is, I read it when I was 19, and that's quite a few years ago, but I still believe it's very valid today. But when you look at what's happening in the world of business, you know, the book was written during the industrial age, very competitive environment. Today, the world of business is much more collaborative and cooperative, and women have certain strengths when it comes to collaboration. And so what I wanted to do was look at those tried and true principles. So each chapter starts out with Napoleon Hill's philosophy as it relates to burning desire, as it relates to faith, as it relates to persistence. But then I look at that through the eyes of women who've created success in their lives using those principles. And so women who are reading the book, or even men reading the book, will get a little bit of insight into how women think and how women have actually applied those principles to create success in their own lives.
It's hard to go wrong with Napoleon Hill, I would say that. And I also was glad to see that you apparently have the endorsement of the Napoleon Hill Foundation. You're on their website now. There was a foreword in there from one of Napoleon Hill's granddaughters.
Absolutely. I have both his granddaughter and his grandson validating and endorsing the work. And this is actually my third book in cooperation with the Napoleon Hill Foundation. So it's been a huge honor to, having built the Rich Dad organization, that to now be able to be working with the Napoleon Hill Foundation is just, it's a huge honor.
It's a great association. Now, let me start by asking you, Sharon, what is your burning desire?
My burning desire is as strong as it was back in 1992 when my oldest son went off to college and got into credit card debt. I was pretty mad at him, but I was more angry with myself. And that's really when I dedicated the rest of my professional career to financial education and making sure that people have the tools they need to become masters of their money instead of slaves to their money.
And that really is one of the first principles that you would talk about when it comes to Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich.
Absolutely. Napoleon Hill says basically most of the troubles are people self-made. They make it for themselves. And that we need to be accountable and responsible, and we need to look at ourselves. In essence, we're each the CEO of our own lives. We're sitting in the driver's seat, and it's up to us to make those decisions and the choices that we make each and every day either propel us to success or not. That's one of the chapters in the book, Decision. You know, what decisions are you making to create a foundation of financial wealth for yourself and your family?
and which gets back to that famous line that I think almost all of us should know by now, whatever your mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve.
Absolutely, and you think about intellectual property as one of the greatest ways to create wealth is, you know, come up with the great, most successful companies do one of two things, solve a problem or serve a need, and today we have a lot of problems and a lot of needs out there. So Napoleon Hill's principle is whatever your mind can conceive and believe it can achieve, but he also went the extra step and talked about you need to go the extra mile. So it's not just build it and they will come. You know, build it, create a solution, and then work like the Dickens to create an opportunity for people to achieve success.
And we look at that, and you're right when you say that it was business was a man's world back in the 30s. And to some extent, I think we could still say that that is the case. You actually gave us some of the statistics early on in the book.
Well, and that's true. But one of the things that one of my big goals for the book is to really change the dialogue. I really want, instead of women complaining about the glass ceiling, complaining about the wage gap, let's look at the progress that women have made, and let's celebrate the progress that has been made by women. And that will not only accelerate progress, but it will also bring awareness to the positive side of the success women have had. For instance, we complain about the glass ceiling and the fact that there's only 24 women CEOs in the Fortune 500 companies. Do we need more? Of course. However, in the year 2000, there were only two. So let's celebrate the progress. We've gone from 2 to 24. And in fact, when I first started to publish the book, the book actually has 23 in it. So since it got published, we've had another one. So we're now at 24 women CEOs. Same thing with wage gap. You know, yes, the 77-cent wage gap is something that needs to change, of course. But when you look at when you pull out the stats and really look at them, younger women are at 92-93%. Of the wages for similar men. So there's been progress made, and those women will continue. It will continue to be made. And then the big one that I think a lot of people talk about is that less, you know, just under 17% of all corporate board seats are held by women in America. And that certainly should change. We need more. But rather than complaining to all male boards, now we have the stats released by the Catalyst Organization that boards that have women on them outperform male-only boards by 66%. So that's the whole purpose, is to change that dialogue from the negative side of things to acknowledging the progress that has been made. And certainly male-only boards, when they start looking at the fact that they want their bottom line to grow, if they can bring women to the table, it's the brilliance of the male mind and the female mind working together that can create the greatest economic benefit.
Another important stat in there was education, and more we are seeing that women are earning more and more degrees.
Absolutely. In fact, the most recent stat that I found was for every 100 men who are graduating with a degree, 140 women, so 40% more women are graduating from college each year.
That's got to be a big driver in all of this. And yet, at the same time, there are different ways to approach this and still some old biases, I think, that crop up about the idea of living that balanced life, shall we say. Are those concerns still valid, or are there ways that women can and should approach this?
I'm so happy you asked me that question. As I said, the chapters in Think and Grow Rich for Women follow the format of the original Think and Grow Rich, except I have a 15th chapter, and it's called One Big Life.
Mm-hmm.
While I want to change the dialogue from negative to positive, I also want to debunk the work-life balance guilt trip that women have themselves on so much, because you know, the definition of the word balance is not moving. I don't know a single woman who isn't moving and trying to do multiple things and multitasking. And so when people get worried or guilty, there's nothing positive about that. That only ruins your day, and it also ruins your health. So I want women to stop thinking about work-life balance. They have one big life, And every morning when you get up, if you were not happy how you spent your time yesterday, make a different choice today. But don't carry that guilt around with you, because it's not just unproductive, it's destructive to yourself, your family, and your health.
So we should kind of stop arguing about this?
Yes, we should be looking at, arguing isn't productive to begin with. But I am the queen of guilt. I can speak from experience. I was raised to say, I feel like one day I was spending too much time on my business and not enough time with my kids. The next day I was spending too much time with my kids and not on my business. And then just a few years ago, I found the definition of the word worry, and it's to worry is to pray for what you do not want. And that definition alone has helped me grab myself when I'm in the middle of one of my worry trips. I stop and go, wait, I'm concentrating on what I don't want to have happen. Let's just reframe that, and let's concentrate on what I do want to have happen. And that whole framework, from a standpoint of your business, is to start thinking about what you want to accomplish and the goals, and not use destructive tendencies, not only for your business, but for your health, by worrying about something that is in the past.
In that chapter, The One Big Life, some of the quotes that you had, show me a woman who doesn't feel guilt and I'll show you a man. That was Erica Jong. So there's no such thing as work-life balance. There's work and there's life and there's no balance. Sheryl Sandberg from Facebook. You put together some great quotes here from, you call them the Sisterhood Mastermind. And they're just fantastic quotes. Really amazing.
Well, thank you. It actually was, it proved to me that the book needed to be written, because I had a really hard time when I came up with the concept of, within each chapter, I'm highlighting a couple of women and their personal stories, but I wanted to really have the book be a celebration of women. So I added the Sisterhood Mastermind at the end of each chapter with quotes from famous women that of the past, famous women leaders, famous women today, and also up-and-coming women leaders, and where they have said something that applies to the particular principle that we're talking about. And it was not easy. It was really difficult to find quotes from women. I literally had to go into written articles. I had to go into videos to pull that out. So it was proof positive to me that we need to start highlighting the wisdom of women more and more.
I mentioned the quote from Sheryl Sandberg there. She has recently written Lean In. What are your thoughts on that approach?
Well, thank you for asking, because I actually have read Lean In, and I actually talk about it in the introduction, the first chapter of the book, because, again, that book was released as I was writing Think and Grow Rich for Women. And, again, it was proof positive that I needed to do it, because when she released Lean In, she was pummeled with negativity, primarily from other women. And so my whole concept is, let's celebrate the fact that Sheryl Sandberg is a woman and she found a way to achieve success in her life. Now, what she did may not be the right formula for me or for another woman, but that doesn't make it wrong. Let's say, and she wanted to share what she did and her philosophy, just like Napoleon Hill. I mean, he talked to 500 of successful people, and they all had their own philosophies, and yet there were common core within all of them that he was able to draw upon to write Think and Grow Rich. And I just want to highlight the success that Sheryl Sandberg has made. Now, there are other women who've created great success by being a stay-at-home mom and create success by being a stay-at-home businesswoman, creating business from home. Other women have created incredible international success through network marketing organizations or through becoming the chancellor of a university.
It's all
every
unique.
One of these women found great success.
Sharon, hang on. We've got lots more to talk about. Sharon Lecter, our guest. The book, Think and Grow Rich for Women. And we'll have more in just a moment. Money Radio, thank you so much for joining us. We're talking with Sharon Lecter today. She is the author of several books, including co-authoring Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and now the new book, Think and Grow Rich for Women. Of course, working off of the Napoleon Hill book, the classic book that has been around for a little over 70 years now, Think and Grow Rich, and updated for women. Sharon, what is the biggest issue for women in the workplace now?
Well, there are quite a few, and I try to highlight as many as I possibly can in the book, but I think one of the greatest ones is a lack of confidence. You know, men typically don't have a hard time saying they're experts in their field. Women, on the other hand...
Even when they're not.
I didn't say that, you
I
did.
I said it.
I mean, this is not a male-bashing book in any way. Let me just add that, by the way.
No, it's not.
The afterword has a lot of contributions from men who are champions for women. But I think, you know, when it comes to women, women have a hard time standing up and saying they're experts. They are great champions for other people. They typically are not the greatest champions for themselves. So I think if I had to choose one thing that I think is really something that we need to focus on as women, I think it would be that.
Confidence and assertion. What about mentorship? So many men have had mentors over the years, but there aren't as many women in positions of authority at the top of the corporate ladder to mentor along.
Well, we talk about that as a core theme, particularly in the Mastermind chapter, where we talk about Napoleon Hill came up with the Mastermind concept, and that's surrounding yourself with people who want you to succeed and being able to bring the brilliance of everybody to the table. But when I first started my career, which is in the mid-70s, there weren't very many women in business. And those that were successful didn't tend to be very nice to other women. They weren't exactly the greatest mentors. And I think that we are seeing that change more and more. And in the book, in Chapter 9, in the Mastermind chapter, I highlight some of the women's organizations. I'm a member. I'm on the National Board for Women Presence Organization. Incredible organization where you have a group of women, 15 to 20 in each chapter, that are some of them are my closest friends because we've gone through so much together. When one woman comes to the table and she has a problem, more than likely several of us at the table have experienced that and can give guidance. And so it's very important to surround yourself with people who support you. And so more and more, there's NABO, the National Association of Women Business Owners, 85 Broads, eWomen Network. So there are more and more women's organizations out there that are filling that role. But it's also important to make sure you have mentorship from both men and women as you're wanting to create success in your life so that you have that opportunity to get the best of both worlds.
Wherever you can find that positive mental attitude, that was, of course, another great Napoleon Hill book, Success Through a Positive Mental Attitude.
That comes right back to the whole purpose I wrote the book, which is to change the dialogue of women from negative to positive. You know, I think we can attract more progress by celebrating the progress that's been made than by continuing to complain about what hasn't happened.
You've really done a marvelous job in updating a classic, Think and Grow Rich, and doing it for women. And as I say, some of the extras that you brought to the book are just delightful. The quotes and the other things that, and the stories that you tell to update a great story. What's next on your agenda? What are the projects you're working on?
Well, thank you so much. Living right here in Arizona, I'm very excited that we had a bill passed last summer that's going to require financial education in high schools for graduation and highlight the importance of that. So obviously, I have an initiative that I've in my fourth year of getting financial education into high school, so that's always getting in gear at this time of year for the next school year. I'm also working on Think and Grow Rich for the Next Generation, which will be out sometime next year, related to, again, taking those principles of Napoleon Hill and applying them and making them, looking at them through the eyes of young entrepreneurs. So that's a pretty exciting project.
Some great stuff. At first, I was thinking, could it be possible for anybody to improve on Think and Grow Rich? I think maybe you have. Sharon Lecter, Think and Grow Rich for Women. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you. What a wonderful compliment.